Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94 and between Highway 164 and Highway F in the Ridgeview Corporate Park, and in the Village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank building across from Winkies. We also service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. You can visit ellenbecker.com for more details. My guest today is Chris McGee, Chair of the College Savings Foundation. Welcome to the show, Chris. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Heather. Great to be here.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about saving for higher education, what it's like to have 529 plans, you know, our favorite savings vehicle for college and higher education, and even more with some somewhat recent legislation. But before we get into too much of that, why don't you tell us about yourself, a little bit of your background, and what the College Savings Foundation does?
Yeah, no, thanks. Happy to. Very briefly, I'm as you said, the chair of College Savings Foundation. We are a group of individuals from private and public sector entities where we work together in order to make 529s a better savings vehicle for college savings and higher education savings. We want to make it more flexible, more approachable, and we're out there to really put the word and to share what we find are success stories in saving for higher education. And as far as my background, I'm an old banker by trade, went to law school, and became a litigator for a while, and then found my way over to the Virginia College Savings Plan. I'm the general counsel and head of policy. What I find is the most rewarding career that I've had, because my own family, my mother is from Appalachia, my father is from the inner city of Baltimore, for those Baltimore natives. If you want to call it, improved our circumstances solely through education. And it's my family on both sides are it's a history of either working while they're in school or taking out big loans and to make their higher education dreams come true. I'm first generation where we didn't have to take out big loans, but it's because I had a grandfather and grandmother and a father and mother who believed in education and believed in saving for that education, so I wasn't bogged down by a lot of loans. So I was somehow amazed to find a career that actually allowed me to share that story.
You know, and what's really important about that, and we'll get into all this, I'm sure, but how valuable it is to graduate from college without being saddled with too much debt, because that really influences your future decisions on anything you do for a career. Now, we all want to make, you know, our time valuable, right, and do good things with the time we have, and a lot of that is part of what we can earn. But when you have a bunch of debt versus having either a modest or no debt, there's a big difference in what your what that college graduate, the decisions that they get to make.
Yeah, no, so correct. And we find that it obviously influences, you said, their life decisions. You delay moving out of your parents' basement, you delay moving to your parents' house, you delay, you know, a big purchases like a home and a car, simply, and also career choices, simply because there's a lot of student debt. So one of the focuses of College Savings Foundation is, and one of the mission statement, the missions of our organization is to reduce that reliance on loans, college loans, and other types of lending, so that students can graduate with a reduced debt load or no debt load at all.
Yeah, that is very important work that you're doing. So from what I understand, there's some different studies and surveys that the foundation does, likely in order to continue to advocate. Do you have some pieces of information you want to share about the work, that kind of work and the outcomes of those studies?
Yes, I mean, we do two annual surveys each year. We do a parent survey. We survey parents of students 25 years and younger, and we go out nationwide and survey 1,000 parents. We've been doing that for about 18 years. And then we also have a student survey. We survey 1,000 high school students, sophomores, juniors, and seniors. And the idea is we want to know what's on their mind. We want to know their attitude towards higher education, not just college, but other forms of higher education as well. But we also want to know how they're approaching paying for that education. You know, as you referenced, I mean, higher education does not come cheaply. The average public university costs around $108,000, $110,000 for 4 years. That's the cost of attendance. Average private university is $234,000. So these are expensive things. They're, you know, the average, the studies still show that they're worth it. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics said in 2022 that a college grad still earns 68% more per week than a someone who just has a high school degree. So we want to make sure that we are doing the right things to try to address families' needs. And the great news is that this year was just, for us, was perhaps a reward for a lot of work over the past 20 years. What we found was, and the big headline from this is that families are saving more for their children's higher education goals than they ever have in our survey's 18-year history. And interestingly enough, is that not only are the families saving, that's both, by the way, both parents and children are saving. They are putting money into their 529 account or their college savings account, but they're also going out. Gifting options have become a big thing in the last several years. And 65% of parents say that this holiday season, and perhaps for their children's birthdays and other family occasions, they're going to ask family and friends to contribute to their child's 529 college savings account.
Right, which is, you know, something we talk to our clients about as well, right? There's different tax benefits that that gifter can participate in, depending on the state and depending on you know, the plan that they're adding to. But, you know, when we think about it, what's more important than education? Is that video game or that pair of pajamas, you know, more important than education? And I suppose it varies by family. Of course, we still want to be able to gift, you know, some fun things, some needed things, tangible stuff, experiences to our family. However, that investment in education, that's really what you were talking about, right? When you think about how expensive college is and what the turnaround reward is by higher earning potential, it's really thinking of it as an investment into your child or grandchild or, you know, niece or nephew.
Great. And, you know, our survey shows, to put perhaps some people's minds at rest, when they're thinking about what to give their grandson or granddaughter or niece or nephew, is that according to our survey, when we went out and asked students this, 75% of them said that they prefer education gifts over material gifts. I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think they still want the material gifts.
I like the stuff.
But, you have, according to our survey, you have a 75% chance of giving a if you put money into a 529 account for your niece or nephew, grandchild or son or daughter, that they're going to thank you. They may thank you later, but basically it's one of the things that's on top of kids' gift list, which I was found amazing and very mature.
Right. Well, and that's the thing too, especially by the time a student's in high school, because mm-hmm. that's your survey audience, right? That they right. have a very good understanding of what their commitment is, right? What's the expectation for themselves to be able to go to college? Like what proportion do they have to pay for? Do they have to just pay room and board? Or do they just have to pay tuition or a right. percentage or whatever there is? And so that's also likely why they appreciate those education gifts, because, you know, they're probably working really hard to make it work, and they see that in their future.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating because, I mean, it's an impressive bunch of kids out there today, much more mature than I was at their age. But what our survey shows, again, the 1,000 sophomores, juniors, and seniors, is that they are intending to pay for their own higher education, or at least contribute significantly to that. And to do that, they're going to save and work and trim expenses like never before. 57% of the students that responded to our survey saying that they are saving for their higher education goals, and they're saving more this year. 56% of them say they're going to pay for their own higher education costs. And one of the things that really kind of made an impact on me, well, there are actually two things. The first is that 80% of the students that we surveyed said they're going to work during college to help pay for that experience. 20% of them, of that 80%, said that they're going to work full time. Wow. So these are students that are very focused on their education goals. The other thing that impressed me, the other response that really impressed me, was 68% of the high school respondents said that they are going to live at home during college to help save money. And to me, that's giving up an awful lot of, you know, that residential experience that, you know, a lot of us enjoyed and during our college experience. They're going to give that up in order to, one, to make their higher education goals a reality, but two, not to be saddled with so much debt.
Yeah, and that's, you know, there are a lot of different choices that people need to make, and they're not always easy. And it's very interesting about how people are making some of those tough decisions even younger. But with that, we'll take a short break. And when we come back, you know, let's talk more about 529 plans and how they're used and how you can save in them. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, wealth advisor at Ellen Becker Investment Group, and my guest today is Chris McGee, chair of the College Savings Foundation. And we've been talking about saving for higher education, the attitudes around high school students and what they're wanting to save. And what they're willing to work for. We also obviously have a lot of parents that save for their child's education. So before we get into some of the details about education savings plans, Chris, can you share more about what your surveys of the parents, now you had said your parents of kids under age 25, that would be me. I've not been surveyed, so you can put me on your list for next year. Got two kids in college currently. So, you know, what are you seeing with the habits and attitudes of parents?
Yeah, I mean, as we said in the last segment, I mean, the kids are all doing all right. They are very much focused on savings and saving in record numbers. Their parents are in exactly the same boat. What we find is that the parents are saving, there are more parents saving out there, first off, and they're saving more per child than we have seen in over a decade. 94% of parents are funding their children's education, and that's up from 81% last year. And 48% of them, the good news is that 48% of them are going to fund it primarily through savings, and that's up from 28%. So first, you've got many more parents saving, which is, again, one of our organization's goals. The second part of that is also good, and one of our other goals is they're saving more than they ever have in the past. You know, 3/4 of parents responding to our survey said that they're saving at least $5,000, which is a great start given the numbers we're talking about. But they're also, half of them are saving more than $10,000, and then more than a third of them are saving more than $25,000 per child. Wow. Which is a great, thing to do for a child that will go a long way to avoiding some of that debt. And for our industry in particular, for 529 college savings plans, there is a unprecedented awareness of the advantage of 529 plans and their advantages. When we did this survey last year, 29% of Americans knew about 529 plans. This year, it's 52%. So over half of Americans know about 529 plans and some of their advantages. So we're very grateful that we're getting the news out about these wonderful ways to save for college.
Well, it's a very important savings vehicle. And this is something that, you know, we talk to our clients all the time about. That last year, you said only 29% of your parents on the survey knew about 529s, and that jump to just over 50% is really important. I would hope we see that big of a jump for the next year and make it over 70%, because they're so helpful and so important. I know there's different things that have changed with them over time that have made them even more flexible. So we can talk about that, on the show when the time's right too, just about those plans. But, you know, do you see any reasons why there's been a heightened sense of awareness?
Yeah,
other
I mean,
than
great.
Advisors at Hellenbeck are telling everybody about them, of course.
Yes. First of all, we have to give proper thanks to you and your colleagues out there. It's a huge part of getting the word out. Your trusted
financial planners, right? Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for making sure that your clients know about this. I think some of the other reasons are, no one wants to be a part of that $1.7 trillion in student debt, which still kind of boggles the mind. Yeah. Most families are saying, no, thank you. Now, for the vast majority of Americans, they're going to still have to take out some loans when the time comes. But what this survey shows us is that Americans are working harder than ever to avoid taking on too much student loans. When your child goes off to college, I think the third reason is that basically that parents and students are looking at education somewhat differently today. Is that when I back in the dark ages when I went to college, you were pretty much done at college or grad school, and so your education experience was pretty much over. What, I think parents and students both know these days, it's a lifelong commitment, and it means that there are going to be, more opportunities to educate, to keep you on your career track, to keep you successful, to keep you being able to demand more and more salary. You need to have education. You need to further hone your skills. And that's going to cost money. And so I think people are beginning to see education as a lifetime commitment. And the third, one of the fourth reasons is, the fourth reason, excuse me, that parents are, I think, more aware of 529s is that we've had in the recent couple of years more news on 529s that we've had in a while. Thanks in large part to Secure 2.0 and those type of things, and the features, the main feature, really the flexibility, added flexibility that Secure 2.0 provided 529 plans.
Yeah, Secure Act 2.0, we talk about that pretty often with our clients as well. There was a variety of different changes that came in. If we want to take some time now and really talk about 529 plans, because again, there could be, you know, according to your survey, half our listeners aren't that familiar with them. Again, with the recent changes that have come in with Secure Act 2.0, you know, give us some background on what that means for people and what 529 plans are.
Right. Yeah. And we'll start with the great idea. We'll start with the basics first. 529s have been around since the 1990s, and they are a creature of the tax code. And they're a creature of the tax code because the money that you put into a 529 plan is not taxed while it grows in the 529 plan. When you take the money out of the 529 to pay for your child's education, it's still not taxed as long as you use it for qualified expenses. And we'll get into those in just a second. So in other words, you have tax-free growth for your education savings. And every state in the country has them. Financial advisors are one of the best resources for learning more about 529s. But you can, what they are primarily for is to save for a cost associated with four-year colleges, career and technical schools, and even today, even apprenticeship are covered under 529s. Now, once you save and you're ready to spend, you can spend them on qualified expenses. And this includes tuition, room and board, computer supplies, books, fees, and that type of thing. So most of the costs associated with higher education, the big ticket items, obviously tuition and fees and room and board, as long as you can pay for room and board, as long as your child is going at least 50% of the time to higher to the college or university of their choice. When you take that money out, again, you're not taxed, the gains are not taxed. So you have this tax-free vehicle in which to help pay for your child's education. Now, over the past decade, it's been a time of tremendous growth in our industry in terms of flexibility. Our bread and butter, and still is our bread and butter, is college savings. However, in the recent years, Congress expanded our mission. You can pay up to $10,000 a year for K through 12 tuition. You can also pay up to $10,000 take $10,000 out of the 529 account and pay off help pay off a student debt. But by far the most significant, new feature of 529s since I've been involved with the program, that's been since 2008, is the Secure 2.0 flexibility that Secure 2.0 gave us recently, that if you have money left over, if you're lucky enough to have money left over after you finish educating your child, you can roll that balance in your 529 account up to $35,000 into a Roth IRA for your beneficiary student. So not only have you, the great thing there is not only have you helped your child reduce or eliminate their reliance on student debt, but now you can help them start their retirement savings literally on day one of their career, even before day one on their career. Well, they have to have an income, so it'd be after they get a job and after they start earning income, but you can help them jumpstart their retirement savings at the start of their job. And, you know, as any financial advisor, as you know, well, worth their salt will tell you, is the earlier you start saving, now if it's for both college and for retirement, the better. And so we're really excited about this. I think it also serves, it also serves an important psychological benefit as well, because one of the things that people worry about is, okay, I contribute all this money to 529 and my child gets a scholarship, or I don't need all that money. And, you know, the cost of education is high enough that we find that the vast majority of our accounts are, they're going to get used. They're going to get spent. But as much as I dreamt of me or my children getting academic or athletic scholarships, It didn't happen. So basically, it happens to a very small percentage of kids out there. Fluoride is a very rare thing. So it helps, you know, people answer the question that financial advisors have from their customers of what happens if I don't spend all that money.
Yep.
The great news now is you have an answer is that you can roll it over into a 401k for your child and help them start their retirement savings.
Into the Roth IRA.
Roth IRA.
The best part, again, you know, being that looking at that holistic like financial planning, that is continued tax-free growth.
Right.
Which is like a CPA and a CFP's dream, right? Is tax-free growth. We love that. But right now we'll take a short break. And when we come back, we will talk more about 529s and a saving for education. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor at EIG, and my guest today is Chris McGee, Chair of the College Savings Foundation. So, Chris, we've talked about, you know, the changes to attitudes towards saving and working for college, both by the high school students and college students, as well as the parents of young people. We've talked a bit about the benefits of tax-free growth and the 529 education savings. You know, we talked a little bit about grandparents. Many of these things are considered, or we think of as gifts, right? You're going to gift this to your child or to your grandchild instead of maybe some of the tangible things that you know, ads on TV tell us we have to buy for our family. You know, do you want to share some additional information about how to gift and why to gift and attitudes towards gifting when it comes to setting aside money for education?
Yeah, Heather, it's, you know, again, one of the big revelations for me is the attitude towards gifting and gifting for the, you know, we're about to enter the holiday season for a lot of your listeners. And we're also, you know, talking about birthdays and that type
sure.
of thing.
Yeah.
You know, again, I bring up the thing that was surprising to me. 3/4 of high school students that we surveyed prefer education gifts over material gifts. And again, I because I don't want to ever cancel somebody's birthday or holiday gift. But I think what they're talking about is they are not going to be disappointed if half their stocking or half their gift is a contribution to their 529 program, and the other half is the latest electronic, whatever it is. But it is something that basically I think is a nod to the students out there that they realize so much more than, again, I did at their age, of the financial challenges that their parents face on affording college, that they want to help and they want to get contributions to their 529 plan for their holiday in the holiday season and for their birthday and other family events. Their parents feel the same way. 65% of the parents that we surveyed said that they are planning on asking their friends or family to make contributions during this holiday season to their child's 529 program or plan, excuse me, and for major events thereafter. So again, I think that's becoming acceptable. I think given, especially given those that cost, that ticker price of a higher education tuition bill.
Well, when you think about through their lifetime too, right? We're talking about mm-hmm. events and holidays and birthdays and different celebratory things like that across their lifetime. You know, here we're thinking like, oh, it's these high school students that are willing to take, you know, an education gift over, I don't know, a video game or whatever it is. But it's also for even our youngest kids, right? The ones that it's so fun to buy for them, right? And there's so many different competing priorities sometimes for the family that it, you know, maybe as a grandparent, it's easier for you to help save for their education because the parent are paying daycare bills and diapers and formula and all of that, right? So again, some of that, like the timing of it could be really important when we think about something being invested and growing for possibly up to 18 or 22 years, depending on when they spend it.
Correct. And it can go even longer than that because we find
Yeah.
that some of our customers save their higher education plan money or 529 money for grad school as well. So you can use it use 529 funds for graduate school in addition to that. But you're right, the earlier you get started, the better. One of the things that we like to one of the examples we like to use is the fact that if you save $100 a month over 18 years and you return about 5% over those 18 years, you're going to have $35,000 when your son, daughter, niece, nephew, grandson, granddaughter goes off to school. If that child has to borrow that $35,000 at around 8.5%, it's going to cost them $52,000 over 10 years. So the math is there. You know, start early, save often is
Yeah.
one of our favorite savings sayings.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great mantra to have, in mind as well. Yeah. So we talked a little bit about like when to start saving. Are you seeing just even again more like attitudes towards starting early? Has that shifted at all?
We're seeing an awareness that you're going to have to save and use all the resources at that you have in order to get an appreciable amount for higher education. I think one of the interesting things is that our CSF members with gifting programs have reported double-digit gains in 529 gifting this year, and they are, you know. You can do that through customized gifting portals that are available in some programs, gift codes, e-gift cards, registries, crowdfunding apps, that type of thing. And I'll put in a shameless plug here, is that if you want more information on the gifting programs out there, you can visit our foundation's website, which is College Savings Foundation, all one word, .org, collegesavingsfoundation.org. But I think, you know, it's a great question, and we'll include it in on our next survey next year. But in terms of when they start, I think that we didn't have a question on that, but we do see an increased awareness of how much it's going to cost, and it weighs heavily on parents' mind, and that's why another reason why you've seen this uptick, and not only. Opening up a savings account, but putting more money into it. And I guess the social barriers of asking people to help out, I think are also breaking down. And you're seeing more willingness to go to Uncle Fred or to the grandparents and say, hey, can you contribute to this? So all those are, I think, are indicative of increased awareness of exactly how challenging this can be.
Well, and I think, the days of being able to, waitress or bartend and put yourself through school, work only
Right.
summer jobs, those are long gone, right? So, some people experience that in their lifetime. We are not going to see that for today's children, for today's kids. That's so far removed. If it's a traditional 4-year, university education, which we've talked a lot about. Obviously, these plans can be used, you mentioned it, for even apprenticeships, tech school, trade school, which is important. And, when you have this tiny baby, you don't know what their interests are. We're not even really sure all the way until practically high school graduation for some. But with that ability to put them into the Roth IRA for that beneficiary or even transfer it to a different beneficiary. Right, like being able to transfer it to other family members to use. That's another feature where it's not likely going to go unused. You kind of, in a
Correct.
way, can you could oversave for education, but with so much flexibility, you'd have to save a heck of a lot.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, our maximum amount that my day job is working for the Virginia 529 plan, and the maximum amount you can save under our plan is $500,000 and some change. But we
Per
have
beneficiary.
per
Per
beneficiary.
benefit, yeah.
Per beneficiary.
Yep.
And but we we don't obviously have very many accounts that they're that size. But again, as you pointed out, it is, you know, they are, it's very rare that money is left in there. If you're fortunate enough to have money left over, then you're indeed have done a great job. But you know, between undergrad, many children we notice are going to graduate schools now. My two kids are in graduate school. Mm-hmm. It's simply because it's the next step for a lot of students on remaining competitive and having the best start possible to their career.
Yeah, for sure. That lifelong learning and the benefits that comes from knowledge is great. And the bump in your paycheck or the additional opportunity you have to advance your career is a reason for it too, right? It makes, again, that investment in continued higher education, like the further degrees, or going back to school because maybe you just need something different. You know, mm-hmm. that happens too, where you unlock a passion that you didn't know you had after you've graduated with a bachelor's and I really wanted to try this other thing out. So that's again where more savings can be used if there's anything left over.
Right. Yeah. I'll do another shameless plug here is to ask your listeners to call their member of Congress and help and ask them to be one of the co-sponsors to a bill out up on the Hill right now called Freedom to Invest in Tomorrow's Workforce. Freedom to Invest in Tomorrow's Workforce. Freedom to Invest in Tomorrow's Workforce. We call it FIT for short. And it is a bipartisan effort. And what it proposes to do is to add another component that you can use 529s for, and it's for certain, you know, right now it would give us the ability to pay for certification programs. So if, let's say, you've gone to college and, you know, you decide welding is your life, or, you know, being a paralegal is what you want to do, mm-hmm. or you become a CPA and you want to, you have to take continuing education. You want to do your certified financial planner, those type of things. You can save money in with this bill. If the bill passes, it will permit money to be saved and money to be spent on through 529s on these career enhancing, career changing programs.
That's important. Things to think about for sure. Mm-hmm. We need to take a short break and then we will wrap up when we come back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group, and my guest today is Chris McGee, Chair of the College Savings Foundation. So Chris, while we have just a couple minutes left, we were talking about, you know, what you can do at the end when you've got extra money left over, put it into a Roth for the beneficiary, or maybe save it for even more schooling for that same beneficiary. I know we can transfer to other, you know, kids in the family, that sort of thing. But what if you're thinking of this gift that you've given, right, over time, and you want that to really be used for education and your beneficiary understands that and shares that same value? So how can you keep this, like, for future generations? If it's in somebody, you know, if it's a beneficiary for your child who's now 40 years old, right, has their own family, you know, how does
hopefully
that work?
Hopefully finish school. Finish
school, that has a successful career. Yep.
Well, yeah, it's one of the, and thanks for bringing this up. It's another key bit of flexibility that 529s have. You can change the beneficiary. The account owner can change the beneficiary anytime they want. So if your son or daughter gets that athletic scholarship, that full ride athletic scholarship, you can transfer to one of their siblings, if not their siblings, a nephew, niece, sometimes, or wait and transfer to a grandchild. Good thing to check with your CPA or your financial planner, because there's maybe some generation skipping issues there, but you can transfer it out. Also, if you as a good parent have saved and you're done and there's money left over and your son or daughter hasn't used all that. And you want to make sure that your grandchild gets it, but you also are on your way to Boca and you don't want to deal with this anymore.
Right.
You can, as retirement, you're tired of it, you can transfer the ownership as well. And again, get with your financial advisor, know all the things that necessary, but there's no impediment to changing the account ownership or the beneficiary.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, that's important too. I mean, again, we just talked about the cost of education and how expensive it can be. It's Edvest in Wisconsin, so sometimes I say Edvest instead of 529, but these 529 college savings plans, again, with that flexibility, it can be used for education, basically just because of the cost of education, but also with the flexibility that you've got in changing beneficiaries' ownership. And then, again, that great change that has been for the transferring to the Roth IRA. Again, a little tax-biased financial planner over here, always loving that anything that can grow tax-free. So this has been great, Chris. I've really enjoyed this conversation. If our listeners want to find out more about the work that your foundation does or get in touch with you, what's a good place for them to start?
Go to collegesavingsfoundation.org, we have information out there. You can also go to folks like Heather, and they're one of your best resources for information, and for particularly as it pertains to your individual situation. Heather and her colleagues are a wonderful way to get started. But most of all, just get started, because we've said in this program is, the longer you wait, the less you save, and the more potentially that your child is going to have to borrow. So never too early to start. Start after start when your child is born, your grandchild is born. Give Heather a call and let's get started. That's the important thing.
Yeah, for sure. And it's never too early and never too late. Like, you're not really going to go wrong with saving for someone's education. So this has been great again, Chris. Thank you so much. As we wrap up, I'm going to remind everyone that Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. and on Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m. If you enjoyed today's show and you would like to learn more about Ellen Becker Investment Group and check out any of our amazing upcoming events, you can visit ellenbecker.com or, please give us a call at the office. It's 262-691-3200. As always, I hope that we've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. And before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen.